Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I am always blessed beyond measure to come here. I looked at one or two of the, well, listened to a message that I preached here a while back, and I was shocked and ashamed to realize that I preached for almost an hour or one of those things. So I won't subject you to that today, but I when I come here, there's something that happens here that doesn't happen anywhere else. I think it's because I have a burden in my heart and always have for young people who are called to the ministry. And when I see people giving their life and their time to Christ, I couldn't be more proud. I couldn't be more happy. I couldn't be more enthused in the spirit. You might be going through a difficult time today, but take my word for it. You're in the right place. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let him tell you that it's all got to come together a certain way before you can begin to really function in the body, or before you can really begin to flow in your gifts or serve in your ministry. I've been in ministry long enough to know that it never all comes together. If it's not one thing, it's another thing. And there comes a time in your life, you can do it now, or you can wait for 5 or 10 or 15 years and do it then. But there comes a time in your life when you realize that it's never going to be pristine. It's never going to all come together. It's never going to be without problems or without difficulties. There's always going to be some obstacle. There's always going to be some difficulty, whether it's physical, or whether it's medical, whether it's relational, whether it's financial. There's always going to be something. There's always going to be somebody or something or some thought or some concern. Always, always. And so there comes a time when you and I stop asking the question, God, when is it all going to come together? And we begin to realize that we don't have to ask the questions because we are the answer. And I'd like to share with you just for a few moments that thought. Why ask the questions when you are the answer? And I would love for you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts and the first chapter, the 6th and 7th verses. Acts 1, 6, 7, and we'll just go down to 8. It said, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Basically, what they're saying is, Lord, are you at this time going to make everything right? Are you going to make it the way we expect it to be? Because he had died and he had risen from the grave, and yet they look around and the Roman powers are still in power, and the Greek cultural influence is still permeating the society, and Israel is still in a state of oppression. They can't move in the ways that they want to move and can't do quite what they want to do. And the question is, are you at this time going to do what we had hoped you would do? You saw it on the Emmaus Road, where they are moving away from Jerusalem, moving away from the cross, going back to their old life, because they had thought that, or they had hoped that the Lord would do such and such and such a thing, and it didn't seem to work out. And so now these disciples, the apostles, are asking the question, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They had what was called the messianic hope, where over the course of you know, 400 some odd years, if you will, between Malachi and Matthew, they had decided that this is the way the Lord is going to do it. And in their mind, there was this kind of a utopia that would happen. You know, everything would be perfect. Everything would be pristine. The house of Israel would rule over all of the nations and so on and so forth. And for us, there is the tendency to ask a similar kind of question. Are you going to bring everything to rights? Are you going to make it right? Are you going to bring my family, you know, into order? It's almost as though we were, you know, people who were thinking in terms of, you know, all the stars have got to be aligned if God is going to move in such and such a direction. And we look at our life and we look at financial issues and we look at vocational issues and we look at medical issues and we look at relational issues and we look at psychological issues and emotional issues and we say, Lord, shouldn't at this stage everything be lined up? And should I even think in terms of impacting the nations or impacting the generation or making a difference even in my own home or in my own community if I still have so many things that are out of whack and out of line, and it seems as though the powers that be and the society and the atmosphere of our community is so out of sync with what the Lord has promised and what the Lord is saying that he's doing. I'm wondering, is this the time that God is finally going to do everything that we had hoped that he would do? And implied in that question is, because we can't do anything until everything is pristine, everything is perfect, everything is lined up. So we come to a place like this because we have concerns, we have questions, we want answers, we want to study, we want to know what the Lord says about this and what the Lord says about that. So on one level, it's always good to ask questions. But there's a kind of question that we have got to eventually get over if we are going to get involved. And that question is, Lord, when is it all going to come together? When is it going to come to a place where I don't have the concerns, the problems, I don't have the issues, everything is just perfect? And some religions, some facets of Christianity actually, believes that when you become a Christian, everything is just wonderful. You know what I mean? There is this, you never have any issues in your own heart, you know, and everything just kind of lines up, and everywhere you walk, the Red Sea just seems to open and so on and so forth. And every time you pray, you know, the windows of heaven just, I mean, immediately just pour out in abundance. There is never any time frame, or there's never any, you know, times when God says, you know, not now, or just plain no. Everything seems to align so that person that we are, you know, praying for, you know, when they get better, or, you know, when this situation or that situation is rectified, or then I'm going to go and I'm going to start to do everything that God said. Well, you know what the Lord is saying to the apostles in this particular moment? Is he saying, stop asking that question. That's not the question that you should be asking. That's a question that's relegated to the wisdom and to the goodness of God. God knows how to regulate your life and my life. God knows the times and he knows the seasons, and everything is under his authority. God has everything under control. So they're saying, Lord, when is it all going to come together? And Jesus is saying, God has everything under control. You don't need to ask that question. But then he says this, but you shall receive power. All of a sudden, he's saying, look, you don't have to ask the question because you're the answer. The world doesn't have to change in order for you to be exactly who God has called you to be, and in order for you to do exactly what God has called you to do. Things don't have to line up right in order for us to make a difference, in order for us to have an impact. See, they're saying, is everything going to be the way we expect it? He said, that's not your concern, but you shall receive power. They're saying the world looks like it's crazy and getting crazier every day. He said, that's not your concern. You shall receive power. And they could have said, but my life seems unraveled and I'm afraid and I'm worried and I don't know if I'm going to be able to go into this battle. You saw what happened when they were having the communion and Jesus said, you're going to deny me. You're going to run. You know, and they, you know what I'm saying? I can imagine as they're breaking communion, something in them says, I don't know if I can deal with what's about to transpire with all of the persecution and all of the hardship and so on and so forth. And basically, they're asking the same question here. If you want us to go out, Lord, you need to get things right. You need to square it away. You need to make sure that I'm not overwhelmed by the difficulties of society. And the Lord is saying, look, let me take care of that side of it. Here's what's going to happen with regard to you. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The situation doesn't have to get better. The circumstances of life don't have to get better. If you look at the first century, their world makes our world look like Romper Room, look like, you know, it looks like Sesame Street compared to the world that the church was born in and the world that the church flourished in. We look at our world and we think this is the worst thing possible. No, all you got to do is a little bit of historical study and you realize they flourished in the world that 100 times worse than what we see happening today. Things that kind of get us up in arms was commonplace in their generation. And they're saying, Lord, something's got to happen if you want us to do something. And he says, no, something has happened. I have opened a way for you to receive the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will become the answer to this society. Instead of waiting for things to get right, and instead of asking that question, God, when is it going to get right? All of a sudden you begin to say, Lord, well, look, I know you have everything under control. I know that the times and the seasons are in your hand, under your authority, based upon your wisdom and basking in your benevolence. I know you care and I know that you love and I know that you can do anything. But I also know that I don't have to wait for anything to get better. Because the Holy Spirit has come upon me. And instead of me sitting around asking questions, why this, why that, why the other thing, when is my mind going to finally stop thinking about this thing or that thing? When am I finally going to stop being drawn in this direction or that direction? When am I going to stop having to deal with despair or with despondency? When am I going to stop having to deal with temptation? When am I going to stop having to deal with confusion? When am I going to stop having this dream or that dream? When is it all going to come together? We stop asking the question. And we say, I don't care if it ever gets better. I'm going to do what God has called me to do no matter what. Not because of my own strength, not because I worked something out in myself, but because the Holy Spirit has come upon me. And no matter what I have to fight to get here, I'm going to get here. And no matter what I have to fight to do what God has called me to do, I'm going to do it. And sometimes the Red Sea opens and sometimes we have to walk on water. And sometimes we got to row through a storm. It doesn't matter. We do what God has called us to do. And so instead of us asking the question perpetually, we begin to recognize something. We are the answer. We are God's plan for this generation. If this world is going to get better, it's going to be because God has done something in us and we are no longer sitting around waiting for things to get better. We are going to move in the power of the Holy Spirit and let him take care of what needs to be taken care of. And he changes us and he changes things through us. When he said, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, that was great for them to hear. But when he began to say things like, and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world, why, that to them was anathema. What do you mean we're supposed to go out and be witnesses to these people? See, you and I, we got to hear it with first century ears. We have to hear it the way they would have heard it. And all of a sudden, they begin to realize something. As I go out, some of the changes that I know needs to happen in me begin to happen. James and John were looking to pray fire down upon the Samaritans. And now all of a sudden, John is going in with Peter to lay his hands upon them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the changes that need to happen within oftentimes happen as we simply go. And we allow the Holy Spirit to broaden us as people. And it seems to me that the more we focus on the need, the more we begin to more readily reconcile the issues of our own heart. And all of a sudden, my issues ain't so big when I realize that God is actually working through me to help other people. And I begin to realize again that there is an imperative upon my life to bear witness to who Christ is and what he's done. If he says that I am going to be a witness to him, he's not simply saying I'm going to be a preacher or I'm going to be an evangelist or I'm going to hand out tracts. He's saying my life is going to bear witness to what he's done. It is going to bear witness to who he is. He's saying to me, look, I know things don't seem to be aligned right now, but I'm telling you, you will be my witness. I know things don't seem like they're going exactly the way you want them to go right now, but I am assuring you, you will be my witness. Not because everything seems to align immediately, but because the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And as a result, you will change. As a result, you will grow. Growth in the Christian person is inevitable. Development in the Christian person is inevitable. It will happen. It just happens sometimes so gradually that it doesn't feel like anything has happened. But if you told me in this generation and in this day and in this time that the earth was flat and we were just kind of stationary in the middle of nowhere, I would look at you as though you had been, like Rip Van Winkle asleep for the last, couple thousand years or at least the last few hundred. We are moving. The earth is moving. It's spinning. And it's circling, and all of space is moving. The galaxy is moving. You don't feel it. I don't feel it. We feel like we're just standing still. We feel like nothing's happening because everything that's happening is happening on such a grand scale and with such actual speed that it almost seems like everything is stationary. You are growing. You are developing. You are changing. God is doing something in your life. And he told you that you would be his witness. And God can't lie. And so we don't ask the questions, but how, but when, but why? He said, no, leave that to me. Leave the days and the seasons and the times to me. You may never stop having that dream. You may never stop having those memories. But you still move forward. And all of a sudden you begin to realize that the fact that you have this dream or this memory or this pain or this anguish, and you begin to recognize that God is able to use me even still, well, then all of a sudden you're giving God glory and you're giving God praise because you know you can't do it in your own strength. You know you have no power to do it, but not only that, you're in a position to help people who are going through those same struggles, but who don't have the Lord in their life. And you're able to talk to them about the peace of God that passes understanding. And you're able to say, yes, there was a time when everything that the devil was doing was in my real world and I would dream about a life of peace. Now I have an actual life of peace, even though sometimes there's turmoil in my dreams. But my real life is this, that I am born again, that I believe in God, that I love him, that I worship him, that I praise him, that I live for him. The reality of my life now is peace and strength and hope. And let the other things be relegated to the dream world if for a certain time that has to be. You shall be my witnesses. Everywhere you go, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, everywhere you plant your feet, the Lord said to Joshua, everywhere you go, you are going to see the glory of God. You are going to inherit the land. This is who we are. We move into a generation, we move into a community, we move into a place, and God, the Holy Spirit, goes with us. And he bears witness to the fact that we are witnesses to Christ. And he says to us what he did in the days of Elijah, where Elijah just prayed, Lord, let them know that you are God and that you've sent me. Holy Spirit, bear witness to the fact that I am a witness to Jesus. And not just in Jerusalem, not just in Judea, but even as I begin to venture out into Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, into those places that have no respect or regard for the things that I love and the things that I believe and the things in which I hope. Make me a witness. Make me a witness on the battlefield. Make me a witness in times of conflict. Make me a witness in times of challenge. Make me a witness. And I need to be able to be that in that kind of a context, even when things are not utterly aligned. I need to be able to go into the territory of the enemy, even when I have my own personal struggles. And I need to fight for the glory of God and in the name of the Lord, even if I'm having internal struggles and I'm having fights within. That's what Paul was saying. He wouldn't stop, even though there were wars on the outside and there were struggles within. He would not stop. Because God had spoken a word over his life. You will be my witness. And God has spoken a word over your life. You are the answer to this generation. When they say, why are we here? Why is there something rather than nothing? Do I have any value? Why is there a sense, an incorrigible sense of justice where I always feel as though I should be treated justly and I should treat others justly no matter how much injustice and inequity I see? Why can't I shake this feeling? Why am I here? Why is there something rather than nothing? Why do I think in ethical and just terms? Why do I think that there's a distinction between good and evil, between truth and falsehood, between the ugly and the beautiful, between that which is to be known and that which has no access? Why do I think that there's a difference? And you and I come with the answer. Does God love me? Is God mad at me? Can God help me? Can God save me? We are the answer to that question. What did God do to help humankind? We are the answer to that question. How does God feel about his creation after it's rebelled against him? We are the answer to that question. And we can do one of two things, brothers and sisters. We can sit around waiting for God to get everything in our life right. Or we can say, I'm going into this battle. And in this battle, I know God is going to be doing some wonderful things in my life. In this battle, I know he's going to be changing me and he's going to be helping me. But I'm not waiting. If God says go, I'm going. I'm not waiting for it to get right. I'm not waiting for things around me to get better. I'm not waiting for the world to start liking Christians and to start loving Christianity. I'm not waiting for any of that. I'm not waiting for the world to tell me that it's politically okay to talk about Jesus. I'm not waiting for any of that. But more than that, I'm not waiting for everything in my own heart to be just so. Because I have heard a commission from God. I've heard a word from the Lord. I know that he's called me to this. And I couldn't care less about whether or not somebody or my own heart says it's okay to do it. God has called us to this. We are the answer to this generation. And my ministry personally took off when I decided that I don't have to wait for things to get better. I don't have to wait for that person across the hall to turn down the music and that kind of thing. I don't have to wait for that. I don't have to wait until I feel better emotionally or until there are no questions philosophically or until I'm tip-top medically and relationally. I don't have to wait for any of that. Like I tell people sometimes, you know, don't worry about what I look like when I'm, you know, in the, you know, think in terms of a boxing ring. Don't worry about what I look like when I'm in the corner. You wait and see what happens when the bell rings. And I feel sorry for anybody who happens to be standing in front of me when that happens. Because I'm coming out swinging. I'm going to fight when that bell, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? If I'm in the corner there, you know, bringing all the cut men and all of this and all of that, and, you know, wave the towels and, you know, give me some water and all that stuff. And I'm looking like, man, I can't do this anymore. I can't get up. And then that bell rings and bang, I'm at it again. Because this is what I'm called to. This is what I am. This is what I do. I am called to be a witness to Christ, and I don't do it in my own strength. You don't do it in your own strength. But the Holy Spirit comes upon us. You should have saw me back there in the room over there. Because, I mean, I had to fight to get here. I had to fight all night. I was up every hour. All kinds of craziness. I got to fight every time I get to a place like this. Every time I'm about to do this kind of thing, I fight and fight and fight and fight. You should have saw me back there. I'm just completely out of it. My wife will tell you. And I'm trying to eat anything I can eat because my stomach was completely upset yesterday and this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to drink water and I'm trying to, you know, and I'm asking my wife to pray for me and so on and so forth. Because I'm like, I can't do this. I can't even put my words together. But then the Holy Spirit comes. And he says, you will be my witness. He said, don't worry about it. I got this. You will be my witness because He said so. Jesus said, you will receive the promise of the Father. And you and I have the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling presence and we have the infilling baptism. We are called to this. And so not everything has got to be aligned. You look at your own heart and you say, I feel like a hypocrite sometimes. I feel like I just don't fit sometimes. I feel like I'm never getting better sometimes. Like I always tell you, go back to the Bible and look at those people. There's only one God in the Bible. Everybody else is like us. Everybody else. Bible says Elijah was a man just like us, same passions like us. But he prayed. He believed God. Because God told him. God told him what he was. And God can't lie and God can't be deceived. God tells you that you are pure. God tells you that you are righteous. God tells you that you are holy. God tells you that you're redeemed. God tells you that you're saved. God tells you that you're filled. God tells you that you're a witness. God tells you that His Spirit is upon you. And God tells you you're going to make a difference in all of the world. You're going to touch lives. You're going to help people. God tells you that. And what He's saying to us is stop asking the same old question. When you are the only answer to this generation, stop asking God, when is it going to get better? When are my thoughts going to clear up? When am I going to be able to pray for more than 10 minutes without wandering and things like that? When am I going to begin to really understand the Bible? Listen, just go with what you got. Your 5 loaves, your 2 fish, God can feed a generation. All you got to do is believe God when He tells you, you will be my witness. You are going to change the world. One soul at a time. Don't you know when you take, by the grace of the Holy Spirit and by the preaching of the gospel, one soul from death to life, you offset the balance of all eternity, and nothing is ever the same again. If you learn it now, you will save yourself a few years of difficulty. It's never going to align. And there's nothing in the Bible that would make you to expect that. Tradition makes you expect that. The liar makes you expect that. The flesh makes you expect that. But the Bible never, ever tells you to expect that, not on this side of eternity. So we ask God to shut the mouth of the liar. Break the teeth of the devil. And we ask God to calm our own flesh so that we don't decide for ourselves what God's salvation should look like. And let the Bible tell us. And the Bible tells us it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, and it doesn't matter where we are in our process of development. God is going to use us to be his witnesses. And in the process, we're going to change. We're going to grow. Growth happens two ways, and I'll say this in close. One, it's with God in the holy place. You and I grow in his embrace. So we don't say to God, let me get it right, and then I'm going to come to you. Because we get it right when we come to him. Not just when we are saved, but through this also the process of sanctification. So we come to him all the time, saying, God, I need help. I need to grow. I need to develop. And I'm not going to try and do it out here and then present you with it and say, you know, how good must I be? No, that's good, even God. So we come to him, and he lavishes us with his goodness. And we grow in his embrace, right? We don't go and get it right and then think, now I deserve his embrace. And then the other way that we grow is by walking with him as he reaches out to people and as he tries to help people. Because what happens is the investment that he puts in us, that grace, that mercy, that tenderness, that kindness, when we begin to put it to work, it begins to gain interest. Remember the one guy who says, I'm not going to put it to work, you know, for this reason or that reason or whatever. He had a problem with the character of God and this and the other, you know. But you and I, we're like, look, God can't lie. And God can't be deceived. If he says we're this, then we're that. And sometimes people will say, well, we're this in God's eyes, but not. Wait a minute. God is the only one that can see. We're all groping around, you know what I mean? God can see. So if we're this in God's eyes, that means this is what we are. Whatever we are in our own eyes, you know, we still got a long way to go before we can understand. It's only when we see him that we'll really ultimately be able to see. So we let God tell us who we are. And we let God say, now I want you to go and I want you to help somebody. Or we let God say, I want you to come and I want you to receive my embrace. And we don't ask the question, but who am I, Lord? And I'm not ready for this, Lord, because not everything is in place. And when is everything going to come into place? And when is everything going to be this way and that way? No. We say, Lord, say so. Remember Isaiah? The difference from when he first walked in and when he was finally, he walked in saying, woe is me. But he walked away saying, here I am. Why? What made the difference? The altar. The sacrifice. The fire. This has touched your lips. The power of God is upon you. The Spirit of God is upon you. I get in trouble for banging the pulpit at home because this whole everything is glass and stuff. But I can't help it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to cut down. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? me. I think go to Preachers Anonymous and stuff. You know, everything's set. You know, I'm almost 50. I'm over 50. So I ain't going to be pounding too much. You know what I'm saying? So let me get my last licks in. You know what I'm talking about? So when I'm 65, you know, then I'll calm down and I'll stand here like so. But in the meantime, I ain't half-stepping. You know what I'm saying? I take this very, very seriously. So anyways, be encouraged. God said that you are this, so you're this. You're pure. You're clean. You're righteous. You're just. You're loved. You're embraced. You're protected. There's a call on your life. You're going to make a difference. I wonder if John, when he was being sent down to the Samaritans, I wonder if he was thinking to himself, the same John who tried to call down fire, thinking to himself, how am I going to act when I get there? Am I going to be able to lay hands upon these people? Am I going to be able to pray for them? Well, the Lord told him that you would be my witness in Samaria. And sure enough, when he got there, the grace was there. And the grace will be there with you. First in Jerusalem, right? While you're here, your brothers, your sisters, and so on and so forth. And then just keep moving outward. And let God keep moving inward. It's a wonderful time. A great time in your life. Let's stand together. We'll pray together. I try to get you out a little bit early. But that just doesn't usually work. But God bless us. Holy Spirit of Jesus, we thank you that you've called us to be your witnesses. You've called us to tell people who you are and what you're like. And by the power of the Holy Spirit to demonstrate it so that it's not simply relegated to words, but our lives bear witness to you. Even when everything is not lined up, somehow you override, you overwhelm, you supersede, Lord, you transcend. Somehow you still cause our 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed thousands. Lord, we don't know how it goes. We don't know. We only know that you do it. So we're not going to ask the question. When is it all going to come together? When is it all going to be made right? We're simply going to see you and hear you speak to us. But you shall receive the Holy Spirit. You're not going to know the days. You're not going to know the seasons. You're not going to figure it out. It's not going to align 100% on this side of eternity. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters, each one, Lord, each one a witness, each one a light, each one salt in this generation, each one made pure by the sacrifice of Christ, each one being embraced by the righteousness of God. Lord, we simply say, yes. But our inclination is to say, woe is me. But then we look at what you've done. And we look at who you are. And we look at who you've made us to be. And we simply say, here I am. If you need somebody to go, here I am. If you need somebody to help, here I am. You need somebody to love, here I am. You need somebody to forgive, here I am. You need somebody to bear witness to what you've done on Calvary's tree, here I am. If you need somebody to bear witness to your faithfulness, here I am. Now, Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I ask you to lay your hand upon each one. Cause your glory to manifest himself, whether it be in a roar or a whisper, until we are utterly convinced that we are exactly who you say we are, because we know that you are exactly who you say you are. And we thank you for this, O Jesus, and bless you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much.